Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. In today's sermon titled, Peak Experiences, Reverend David Williams reminds us that it is easy to remember the amazing things that happen in our lives. We must always remember that the majority of our lives are humble and simple, but all is blessed by God and vital to His plans. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We gather here today on a Sunday that comes right before a season when we are asked to reaffirm those parts of our life that are lit up by Christ. This Sunday, we're asked to think about how we are going to prepare ourselves to live lives in the context of that transforming grace, and we're asked to reflect on the life we are leading, which more often than not isn't lit up quite so brightly. Our days are full of distraction. Our time is so often just not very well spent, and we need to admit that. So let's do that right now. Let's pray together and ask God to light us up. Please join with me in the prayer of confession. God of compassion, in Jesus Christ you reveal the light of your glory, but we turn away, distracted by our own plans. We confess that we speak when we should listen and act when we should wait. Forgive our aimless enthusiasms and our dark apathies. Grant us wisdom to live in your light and to follow in the way of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Christ we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from Matthew's gospel. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. You can follow along on page 18 of your pew New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Six days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some stories have more staying power than others, particularly in our house. As many times as I try to get my boys to read new things and engage with new books, I find that they go back to the old stories they love when they're looking to spend a little bit of time outside of the treadmill of homework and activities. And I'll press books on them, but generally they go back to Harry Potter. You know, they've been reading it since they were, you know, like that big. And they go back and they reread these stories just because they're good and they're exciting and they bear very little resemblance most of the time to the life that we lead in our house. Because, you know, it's not wizarding and magic and, no, life just sort of bumbles along day by day. And that's a tough reality if you want things to be exciting. It's certainly the reality that I live into. And I think most pastors do as well. And I know maybe people have images of what pastors do in their off hours. Images of engaging in like deep readings of ancient arcane sacred texts, you know, getting lost in the bowels of catacombs, poring over the fragments of Browning ancient scrolls that we are carefully translating from the Syriac. Or maybe you imagine somehow that, you know, we spend our time sitting on the roofs of our houses, deep in meditation and prayer as we ascend through mystic realms and engage with glories and, you know, that's not us. That's Dumbledore. You know, that's Dumbledore. If you want a better sense of my week in the context of the Harry Potter books, I think it's more house elf-ish. You know, it's that way most of the time. It's not adventure and excitement and chasing after horcruxes. It's not those moments that soar. You're shuffling around the house in cobbled together clothes, old jeans and flannel and vests and the kinds of things that make you glad that you don't work in the same community you live in, because if you went out wearing that, people would talk. It's, you know, you do laundry. Amazing how much laundry you do. And then you walk the dog, and then errands, and then the dog wants to go out again, and then you're in traffic with one kid or another, and you're on your way to Drums and Drama and Chorus and Drums and Drama and Chorus, or you're in the bright aisles of the supermarket because somehow with the teen boys in the house, there is no food ever. Even if there is food, there's never, it disappears. And you're in the supermarket, and you're listening to the music they pipe in to keep everyone feeling like everything's okay, and you realize the music they play is now the stuff that I listened to when I was young, and what does that say? Oh, it's not good. It's not adventure. Life bumbles along, and it doesn't play well. You know, you want your story to be exciting. You want it to be, you know, when you meet people, you want tales of adventure, peak experiences that sparkle and shimmer at the telling as you recount this amazing thing. And, you know, when the best story you have on a given day is that you manage to get your over-designed new clothes washer to start aborting every other wash, you know, wow, that's the stuff of legend. It's the stuff of legend. It'll be passed on for now. We don't like our stories to be like that. The simple, basic, humble stuff of our day-to-day existence doesn't make for story. We forget it. It goes by day, and at night when we sleep, our dreams sift all of those things out of our souls. We don't remember them. What we do remember are those peak times, those high and bright moments of our lives. You remember, you do, that first kiss. You remember it. But you don't remember what you had when you went out 17 days later. You remember that moment you said you do. But you don't remember cleaning the dishes 4 months after that. Those things sort of fade to nothing. And so we prefer those peak moments, those soaring, glorious mountaintop moments. Because when we think about the story of our life, those are the ones we remember, hopefully. And as creatures of story, those moments become us as we're knitting our lives together out of this patchwork quilt of memories. Those come to be the things that define us. It feels like those are our stories as we skip from mountaintop to mountaintop in our memories. Those stories stand out. They seem to define us. Like, for example, the mountaintop moment we get from Scripture today. This passage that's the story of the Transfiguration. Jesus gets together with friends and says, let's go up to the mountaintop. Stuff's going to happen. And he goes with Peter and James and John, and they go off seeking this big thing. Where they go is not sure. We only know it's up a ways. And while they're up there in that peak place, things get intense. Something happens with Jesus, or rather, with the way that the disciples perceive him. He becomes totally different. He becomes suddenly too bright to look at. As Matthew gives us this story, and Mark gives us this story in chapter 9, and Luke gives us this story in chapter 9, he becomes something different. They see him, perceive him differently. And that brightness, both of his clothing, but also of his face, is a marker in Scripture that something sacred and different is happening. Wherever the divine is present in the story of the Bible, be it the presence of God or an angelic figure, it's always light-filled. It's always brighter. And then the disciples start seeing other people. Different people showing up. We get two people showing up who are, we hear Moses and we hear Elijah. And we're up on the mountaintop and it's Moses and Elijah, and these are, you just got even higher up because these are central figures in the long story of the Jewish people. Moses, the one who leads the folks to the promised land, the one who liberates the people from slavery, the receiver of the commandments up on another mountaintop, and Elijah, the most potent of the prophets, who the story said had never died, but who would come when the Messiah returned, and here they are. I mean, this is a big moment we're talking about here. This is significant. This is huge, and so Peter, confused, he doesn't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed. Let me build something, you know. Would you like me to build something? I don't know what else to do. So he suggests, you know, maybe I can build some tents. Can tents? Tents? How about that? What? You know, male response, I think. You know, like, just let me do something with my hands. I don't know what else is going on. But he doesn't get the chance to build those places, because then suddenly, as intense as it is, it ramps it up another level, and it's not just, oh, Jesus is glowing, and oh, Moses, Elijah, ah. Suddenly they're in this cloud of radiance, and there's more brightness, and the cloud itself speaks. "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." The second time we hear that, we'd heard it when he was baptized in the Jordan back in Matthew 3, and it's just huge. I mean, it's a cloud, it's talking. This is not a normal occurrence, hopefully. I don't know what your week was like, but there wasn't that much there for me. Here, the presence of the creator of the universe. And if you're Peter, if you're James, and if you're John, how much bigger can a moment get than that? You know? It couldn't be higher. I mean, here, Jesus, you know, like he's turned on a Klieg light behind his face. You can barely look at him. And then the two most important figures of your faith, hey, here they are. And then clouds talking. This is extraordinary. This is the peakiest of the peak moments. One that puts the stamp and seal on who Jesus is. Can't get any better. And then it ends. They're overwhelmed, and then it's just Jesus there. It's like, y'all all right? You guys okay? What's going on here? And they go down the mountain with this story, with this experience. And what does Jesus do? What does Jesus ask them to do? He says, do not talk about this yet. Don't talk about it. And if I were Peter or John or James, I would think, what? How am I going to talk about that? This is a huge thing. This is an immense experience. It's the kind of thing that's a game changer. You would share it with people. You're going to share this thing. You know, it's like, you know, taking a selfie with Jennifer Lawrence. There she is. You know, you're not going to not put that on Facebook. You know, you're going to put that up. You've got to tell people. But Jesus says, no, not now, not yet. It's a common refrain from him in those peak places. When he drives out demons, he says, don't tell people I've done this. When he heals, he says, really don't spread this. Scholars call it the messianic secret. He always says, shh, just not now. Don't speak about this. And it seems bizarre. It seems odd. It seems paradoxical. Jesus is trying to spread the good news, and he's got these huge things he can share with people. But when something happens, he wants it quieter. It appears to be one of the, you know, one of the first two rules of Disciple Club, you know? Meaning you shall not talk about Disciple Club, and the second rule being you shall not talk about Disciple Club. It's just, what? Why wouldn't you tell people this? You've just had an experience that you want to pour out. Why not right away? And part of that paradoxical response to this radiant moment, I think, has to do with the way that Jesus wanted people to respond to all of the other things that he taught. Those bright and powerful moments in life are very important and genuinely transforming. But it's very easy for them to become the only thing we yearn for and the only thing we see and think about. And if those moments become the only place where our faith has any purchase and the thing we push ourselves towards, and I think it's easy to lose track of how fully Jesus wants our hearing of his message to change our lives. Those peak places are a great place to take stock, to look down and to see how things are going, but most of the time, you're not there. You're in a valley. Most days aren't your birthday. It'd be hard to sustain if they were. Just the cake alone would make it a little crazy. The message that Jesus really wanted people to be able to hear has been coming to us over the last couple of weeks in Matthew. The teachings about what it means to live every day as a transformed person. The message of the Sermon on the Mount. And that is something that folds itself neatly into every moment of our lives. It exists in those moments of transforming power, but you know it's also there when you're picking up your kid from school. It's also there when you're sitting in another interminable meeting at the office. It's also there when you're tired at the end of a day. It's a message that has meaning everywhere in our lives, and not just in those moments when we seem transcendent. And I think Jesus wanted to be sure that people got that. That it's not just the shine and the spectacle and the glory and the talking clouds, but it's those house self duties too. Because the message he brings and that we are preparing ourselves for as we move towards Easter is a message that speaks into our every moment, our every instant, into the doing of dishes and the wrangling of children. As we move into this time of preparation, where we're given a chance to set ourselves aside a little bit and take stock, remember that those times have their place, but that every other moment needs to be lived in the light of them. That is our challenge as we walk towards Lent. That is our challenge as we move towards the transformation represented by the Easter experience. Let it be a challenge we're willing to engage with, and let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Some of the moments of our lives are brighter and stronger than others. There are days that we remember and that define us. There are, every once in a while, those feelings that God is present with us. Doesn't come often, but it comes sometimes, and those moments are a great wallop in the head. They're big and they're bright. But most of life is not that. Most of life is a humble thing, is simple. And though we forget those moments as they drift on by, we are asked to remember that they are all important. We're asked to see them today in a different light. So as you walk through your week, which is probably not going to involve clouds talking to you, remember that every one of those moments, as simple as they are blessed by the Spirit. That every one of those moments, as humble as they are vital to God. Jesus wants us to pay attention to those times, to the attitudes of our heart, to the movement of our spirit. And so as we walk into this season of preparation, remember that. And let that shape your days. Now,
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us today, tomorrow, and in every moment, our whole lives long. Amen.